This piece was brought to you by the International Culinary Center, culinarycenter.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Business.
It's the mid-1990s. A child sits in front of the TV watching an episode of Rugrats. The show cuts to commercial, and suddenly a multicolored animal rollerblades across the screen, going crazy for a bite of that tasty cereal. On the next trip to the grocery store, the kid goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Kellogg's introduced cornflakes in the late 1800s, and breakfast cereal has been a staple of the American diet ever since. But that seems to be changing fast. The New York Times recently reported that in the year 2000, the cereal industry was worth $13.9 billion. Last year, it dropped to $10 billion. The number is expected to keep falling, especially as the younger generation moves away from sugary foods. Heritage Radio Network reached out to a number of voices in the food community to better understand why cereal is on the decline. But first, we spoke to some of the millennials who might be responsible for the change.
Do you eat cereal?
Yes, I eat cereal.
What kind of cereal do you eat?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Breakfast or snack?
Snack.
Every day?
No.
How often do you eat it?
Twice a month.
Oh, wow. So rarely. How about you?
I don't really eat cereal.
Why not?
I'm trying to eat healthier.
So you think cereal's unhealthy?
Not necessarily, but I try to eat mostly lean protein and vegetables.
Okay, so what do you eat for breakfast?
I usually eat, like, eggs, turkey bacon, sautéed kale.
Are you joining in on this?
Yes.
I make breakfast every day.
Emily Peterson sees where they're coming from. She's a chef, food writer, Heritage Radio host, and the mother of a toddler.
I think part of the problem that the cereal industry has is that its appeal in terms of a convenience food and like the idea that I would feed my kid a sugar and food coloring laden bowl of corn and wheat that's been stripped of any nutrient value, like I would never do that.
Concerned parents like Emily are just one reason that cereal companies are losing revenue. Schools have a lot to do with it too. Laura Stanley, host of Inside School Food, explains.
To be in schools, processors have had to reformulate because there's these new USDA standards for more whole grain and lower sodium. So that's been expensive for them and a challenge. If it tastes too different from what the kids' families are buying in the store, the children might not go for it. And if children don't like it at school, that might negatively impact retail sales, which would be a big deal because cereal manufacturers are mainly in K-12 food service to cultivate brand loyalty among students. It's actually not that profitable for them.
I think this is interesting because the article seemed to blame millennials for not eating cereal, and mm-hmm. It seemed like the brand loyalty didn't work for us.
Speaking of lack of brand loyalty, nostalgic cereals like Lucky Charms and Reese's Puffs are experiencing the sharpest decline in sales, down 10.7% from 2003. Instead, old-fashioned, healthy cereals like muesli, granola, and your grandpa's favorite, grape nuts, have been gaining popularity. Program director at the Museum of Food and Drink, Emma Bost, explains how our perceptions of cereal have changed over time.
I mean, it's actually really interesting. You are almost seeing a complete circle and a turn back towards what cereal was originally. Cereal actually started as a health food that really grew out of a larger kind of social and religious reform movement in the mid to late 19th century. It started in the Midwest, particularly in a town called Battle Creek in Michigan. And there was a group of Seventh-day Adventists there. They believed in sort of on the path to spiritual purity. They also kind of pursued dietary purity in a way. And again, it never really lost the health halo. And in fact, even these sugary kids cereals have historically been marketed as nutritious foods, as this kind of food movement is growing in the States in particular, and health food movement is growing. Cereal companies are realizing that they already have the tools in their toolbox to market cereal as health food.
Culinary historian Linda Palacio, host of Heritage Radio's A Taste of the Past, hopes that the shift to healthy cereal is a deliberate choice, not just crafty advertising.
I would like to think that it's an educational choice. I would like to think that people are choosing healthier breakfast because we've seen, over history, we've seen cereals go from a very healthy, natural grain think of porridges, think of oatmeal, think of gruel, which doesn't sound very good, but you think of some of the earlier whole grain cereals, and they are on the market again. As I say, I would like to think that it's an educational decision. People are choosing healthier breakfasts and more whole grain products, and I think that these companies, the cereal companies, will respond to that and change their product line.
Consumers are switching to treating sugary cereal as an occasional snack, eating kale for breakfast, and replacing Fruit Loops with oatmeal. Because of this, major companies are being forced to rethink the iconic American breakfast. Only time will tell what the future holds for the cereals of our childhood. This is Austin Sherman for Heritage Radio Network in collaboration with Elizabeth Sachs, Caitlin Pierce, Allison Hamlin, and Elizabeth Kulas. Thanks for listening.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more.